This is the ODG Apparel Podcast.
Wait, I'm not understanding. Why does an apparel company have a podcast, though?
Because they're that awesome.
What is up, guys? This is Dave with ODG Apparel. We have another long-form podcast coming at you with author and pastor Jeff Metters. I've stumbled upon Jeff Metters just through Instagram and social media, quite frankly, because I saw his book everywhere. So he just wrote a book called Humble Calvinism. And so we just kind of chat with him about this new book and its release. And it was really important for me to have him on the podcast because I really want to spend this time on this podcast and with everything we do at ODG Apparel, really encouraging you and pushing you closer towards Jesus. And something that's important to me is doing that by going deeper with theology and going deeper with things that you might not be interacting with on a day-to-day basis. So I was someone who was a religion philosophy major in college, but also just enjoys reading and theology and going deeper. And man, I want to bring that to you guys. I want to be honest and real with who I am and what's important to me. But also just more importantly, if you're willing to listen to this podcast, then hopefully you trust me to just really, as much as I can, be speaking truth and be urging and encouraging you towards Jesus. So I just want to give you guys a hair of an introduction into some terms and some different things that you're going to hear us talk about on the podcast that you're not blindsided when you jump in. Because for you listening to this podcast, you might be a million miles away from the theology of Calvinism, what that even means. But hopefully you just kind of lean in and just listen based on the fact that you've listened to some of our other podcasts and you trust me, right? You trust ODG Apparel. You trust what we've been doing and trust us to bring you content that's really going to push you towards Jesus. So just as an introduction, what is Calvinism? Calvinism is this idea that was started a long time ago, not actually by a guy named John Calvin, but it's named by some of his followers as Calvinism. And basically, kind of during this time, early church stuff, there's this conversation on how does God really work in the world? How does he really work in salvation? How does he really work? Is it predestination? Is it free will? Is it, what is it? And so there's this group of people who follow a guy named Arminianus. They're called Arminians. And basically have this 5 points of Arminianism where they just explain, this is 5 ways of talking about how God works. And a response to that was how, kind of a response to that was the points of Calvinism, how they came up. It's like the 5 responses to those 5 points. And so those are referred to as kind of an acronym of TULIP. T for total depravity, U for unconditional election, L for limited atonement, which is kind of a scary one that people kind of get confused on. I for irresistible grace, and P for perseverance of the saints. And that kind of just is an explanation of TULIP, but even deeper into Calvinism, it's this idea and belief, kind of at its root, that God is sovereign, and sovereign meaning in control of all things, right? That he really does orchestrate things, good or bad, for his glory and for our good. And that might sound scary, it might sound weird. You might be like, man, how could you believe in a God who is in charge of even hard things like hurricanes and all that kind of stuff? And just what I would encourage you to do is, man, just lean into this podcast a little bit and kind of hear out kind of what we're doing. And so the whole premise of this book with Humble Calvinism is based on this idea that, man, sometimes people who believe this stuff, this idea of God being sovereign, can really come across pretty rude and obnoxious. And I've seen it before. And hopefully that's not this podcast, because honestly, that's the opposite of why this book is written. This book was written to kind of speak to some people who might hold this theology and feel like they're kind of high and mighty because of it. And so it's all about the idea, man, if we really catch a glimpse of how good God is and how in control God is, you know, based on some of these theological points of Calvinism or Reformed theology or whatever you want to refer to, really what we're talking about is, what does the Bible say, right? We're really, what we're getting at is, man, who is God and what is he like? And so people refer to that as Calvinism or this theology or that, but really what we're trying to get at is the heart of God. Who is he and what is he like? And so we go to the word for that. And so the whole conversation is around this phrase of Calvinism in this book, but really what it's about is, who is God and what is he like? And so my prayer and my hope is that you would listen in. You would kind of lean in and go, man, I just want to hear about this. I might have some questions about what is Calvinism, who is God and sovereignty. And man, that's cool. That is okay. I would just encourage you to listen in, lean in. I would encourage you, honestly, to go buy this book, right? Learn about Calvinism. Learn about this God who I believe, right, in all my flaws and all my questions, I believe is good and believe is sovereign. I believe that he is a God that does things. It says in the scriptures that he does whatever he pleases. Well, thankfully, he is a good God, right? So he does whatever he pleases, but he's a good God. And so, man, I just say all that to kind of prep you and just hope and pray that you would lean into this podcast. It might be a little kind of out of your wheelhouse, but man, just commit to it, listen to it, and do some research. Look into Calvinism, look into Reformed theology, look into John Calvin, look into this book, look into Jeff Metters and his book. And man, I pray that it would encourage you to go closer and grow closer and deeper. Don't think of theology as something that's above you or above your head. No, no, no. Theology is important because it tells us who God is. It tells us to think about God a certain way. So, man, just lean into this podcast. I hope that encourages you. Just even the fact that I just hope you trust us, right? That we're not just here about having theological arguments. Man, I hope to have a bunch of different people on this podcast who believe a bunch of different things. But most importantly, people who love Jesus. So lean in. I hope it encourages you. Yeah, tell us what you think, too. Feel free to subscribe and shoot us a message if you have questions. Man, if you have questions, shoot us a message. We'd love to chat more about these things, not just make it be a podcast like, oh, I don't believe in Calvinism, so I'm done with these guys. No, just lean in, man. Just the goal is Jesus. That's really all the goal is. So lean in this podcast. We hope you enjoy it. Awesome. Hey, guys, this is episode number 5 of our sort of long form interviews. We have Jeff Metters on the podcast, an author of a new book, Humble Calvinism. Jeff, how's it going?
Doing great, David.
Hey, really glad to have you on the podcast. I feel like your marketing team's been killing it because I saw this book everywhere. Anytime I went on social media or the internet, this thing was popping up everywhere. So I figured, man, I'll reach out to them, see if they're interested in getting on the podcast. And we got connected and we got you on the podcast. So tell the people that are listening kind of about you a little bit, introduce yourself and kind of more even what this book's about and kind of where you're going with it.
Yeah, so I'm Jeff Metters, and I live in a little suburb of Houston called Tomball, which is about 45 minutes outside of Houston, and I've lived here my whole life and consider myself a true Texan. And not only that, I'm a true Tex-Mex person. My mom's from Mexico City, and my dad's from Dallas, so I love Tex-Mex food, and I'm a real Tex-Mex person. I'm the lead pastor. I was the lead pastor. We just changed my title. So I'm the pastor of preaching and theology at our church, Redeemer Church. And we're part of the X29 Church Planting Network and been a part of that for about 8 years. And it's been a blast to help plant churches and train church planters and see more churches get planted around the world. I'm married to my wife, Natalie, just celebrated 12 years of being married. And I've got 2 kiddos. And I got 2 dogs that get on my nerves. And
my wife won't let me have a dog, so
she's a wise woman. Wise woman.
So this book, it's a newer book. I think it's March 1st you released it.
Yeah, hasn't been that long.
But I feel like you've probably been working on it and formulating this book for a long time, I would imagine.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So the ideas probably came together in the summer of 2017. And he put a book proposal together, and my agent took it around and took it to different publishers, and a few were interested, and we landed with the Good Book Company, and really glad we did. They were a great partner to publish the book and everything. And I remember, I think I signed the contract for the book in December of 2017, and now finally, you know, March 2019, it's out, wow. It's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long road.
It's like giving birth, it feels like, right? Just kind of this year and a quarter, year and a half or so of just getting these, not to mention the years of thinking that probably went into it as well, of just formulating these ideas. So give my listeners, give me even kind of like a, what is the book? Kind of what's the point we're trying to get? When you say this phrase, humble Calvinism, right? So for some people listening, they might not even know what you mean by Calvinism. They might be thinking something totally off base. Kind of what are you meaning by that?
Yeah, so Calvinism is historically, it's a doctrine that's about 5 points. Now, Calvinism has more to that than these 5 points that I'll talk about. Calvinism is a branch of theology in Christianity that goes back really far into church history that talks about church structure and has some insights into all areas of the Christian life. But my book is focusing on probably the most popular area of Calvinism, and also probably the most controversial part of Calvinism. And it's around the doctrines of salvation, or maybe the doctrines of grace that you've heard before. And it's been popularized by an acronym called TULIP. And so John Calvin, he didn't invent these things. Calvin didn't even come up with the acronym. He didn't invent it for a couple of reasons. One, Calvin didn't speak English, so he would not have written the S-Tulip. He spoke French. And acronyms were not all that popular in the 1500s like they were in the 90s and in 1990s American Christianity. But the acronym for TULIP, it starts with T. It's total depravity, meaning that we are totally sinful, that no one is inherently good, and no one can do enough good works to get themselves into the kingdom of God. So that's kind of what it's getting at, that we're not basically good people, but that we are sinners deep down, and we need a complete, a regenerating, transforming grace from God to save us. And then U is the unconditional election, based out of Ephesians 1 and passages like Romans 9. But you can find these truths, I believe, from Genesis to Revelation, that before the foundation of the world, God had set his love on sinners to save us, and that he chose us in Christ before time, before we had done anything, who he would save. And then L is limited atonement. That's not the best phrase for that, what this truth is trying to teach, but it fits the acronym. But I prefer a phrase like definite atonement, which speaks of what Jesus did in his death on the cross, that he actually purchased salvation for sinners, not just made it possible. He didn't just open a door when he died, but he put people on his back on the cross and carried them with him into eternity, into eternal life. And then I is irresistible grace, which means, so like, okay, if we're totally depraved and we're so wicked and so sinful and we don't want God, no one desires God, no one seeks after God, Romans 3. So how do we get saved? And I is the answer of irresistible grace, that when God shows us his glory, shows us his goodness through the gospel, he changes our will. He changes our desires, where now we do want God. So no one comes to God kicking and screaming, but we come to God because of this irresistible grace that the Holy Spirit now works in us. And then P is the perseverance of the saints. And it's probably, you know, a lot of people probably heard it, the once saved, always saved kind of mentality. Yeah. But the truth is that if you are truly born again, you are truly in Christ, then you cannot lose your salvation, because it wasn't yours to begin with. It was Christ's gift to you. And so once saved, always saved. But that also doesn't mean once professed, always protected. That you actually persevere, you grow, you endure, you go till the end. Because there are lots of people that make a profession of faith, but then they never follow Christ again. They don't walk with him. They don't desire him. Those people should not have any confidence that they're born again. Jesus tells us in the parables that there's some seed that goes on this soil and some seed goes on that soil. And even some seeds sprout up with joy. But then when hardship comes and the things of the world, the cares of the world, they fall away because they didn't have any root. So, and Hebrews 10 talks about that as well. So yeah, that is kind of the broad doctrines of Calvinism. Came around in the time of the Reformation. And actually came about after John Calvin's death. There was a group of people who were followers of Jacob Arminius, and he loved Christ and he loved the church. But his followers, they were having some theological difficulties and disagreements with the Church of Holland. And they wrote these 5 points of disagreement. And then Calvin's disciples, who were also members of the same church, came forward and said, no, that's not what we believe. This is what we believe. And that's how they came about, and they got more popular and took root. So here we are.
Yeah, because you know, the 5 points of Calvinism were more of like a response, correct? They weren't even really hey, we're making a statement, as much as we're responding to someone else's statement.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And so I know from my own life, I'm trying to like put myself in the shoes of some people who might be listening and go, whoa, where are we going? How do we end up in such a Calvinism, this, that, and the other thing, and that just not expecting that from us, but I'm so excited to be having this conversation. Because I know for me and for the people who might be listening, man, there was a time in my life where just this phrase kind of honestly kind of made my stomach go a little upside down about it, because it felt so not something, it was like a wasted conversation. It was just so heady and so unnecessary to have this conversation. So for my journey, it really has changed, even just understanding who God is. And so I just, my hope is that people who are listening are able to kind of just say, hey, hear us out, listen to this conversation and kind of learn more about it. So even for your own life, Jeff, what was your journey in kind of getting to this place where,
yeah,
to this phrase that for a lot of people might be kind of something that they reject just on its face, but deep in their bones when they read scriptures, they might be seeing it and just not connecting the dots. So what was your journey kind of getting to this place where you're like a champion for this thing called Calvinism?
Yeah, like it's really funny. The first church I ever remember being a part of was Free Will Baptist Church. Mm. You can't get more Arminian anti-Calvinist than that. Mm. That was down in Houston. And then we moved out into the suburbs and started going to another Baptist church out there.
How old are you at this point?
I got to be maybe third or fourth grade, something like that. And then a new pastor came to the church in high school. And, you know, I was like a normal youth group kid, sleeping every Sunday, using my NIV student Bible to prop my arm up so I could get a better angle to go to sleep. And I was a Christian. I loved, you know, I was grateful that Jesus saved me, but I wasn't really reading my Bible or being discipled. Those just things just were not in our church culture and had no idea. But then this new pastor, you know, something, I don't know what happened, man. I just started listening one Sunday. I think one of my friends encouraged me I should listen this Sunday, and I did. And he was preaching through Ephesians and Ephesians 1. He just started preaching through it verse by verse. And the part in Ephesians 1 that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons. And all those phrases just hit me as a loser in high school that could never go on a date. I took a job at Outback Steakhouse, hoping I could take girls there 50% off. I never took one. I didn't go to like any dances except prom, but I don't even think I danced with my date. I was just not a cool kid in high school. And then on top of that, I struggled with pornography. Hmm. And so then I hear this from God, from God's word, that I love you before you even did anything, that I loved you before the foundation of the world. And I remember sitting there thinking, why would God love me? Look at me. I have nothing. I'm not great. I'm not cool. I'm a hypocrite. I go to church and I struggle with pornography. Like, how in the world could God love me and care about me? But it was because of his great mercy. And so that just began to really shake me. I was shook, I guess the kids say today.
They say it, but I try to pretend to be cool because like I own this apparel company. I'm not. Though, yeah. So yeah. I'm sure they say it. I don't know that they say it.
It was lit, man.
Yeah.
It was lit.
It was lit, fam.
It was lit.
I think the correct usage.
Yeah. Well, then, so on top of that, then in Sunday school, our Sunday school teacher, I think probably a sophomore in high school, there was a teacher's choice for the month. And it was one of those like odd months where there was five Sundays in the month. And his choice that month was he wanted to teach us the 5 points of Calvinism. Mm. And I had never heard of them before. Up until that point, Klein was the only Calvin I knew. I mean, I had never even heard of this stuff. And as we began to walk through those points Sunday after Sunday, I was just so encouraged by God's mercy and by God's love for me that I just believed it right away. I didn't kick and scream. I didn't fight. And I know some people have a lot of problems with Calvinism, yeah, and I get it. I totally understand why as well. But for me, my journey was one of just savoring and really of enjoyment.
It's amazing. I think of even my own story, just how I fought. Like I was one of those people who fought it and fought it and fought it. And for me, it was, I had a friend in college who was the quote unquote, oh, he's the Calvinist, right? Like, oh, he's one of those guys. And so I actually had him on my podcast. He's a pastor. He's a youth pastor in Northern Florida. And it was not to make this podcast about me, but I think it's just a powerful story. He and I would argue and argue and argue and argue about it. And, you know, I was so passionate about it and so passionate against these things. How could God be a God who's doing these things, who's choosing people, who's, you know, whatever the arguments are against a God who's sovereign and in control of all things. And it, this one weekend we were together on like a retreat, his sister-in-law passed away. And he was weeping. I mean, I remember, I've never seen someone weep like this before in my life. And he was weeping and pointed back to our conversation earlier and saying, I believe in a God who's sovereign over all things, even this. And he's a good God. And she did not believe. But I believe him and I trust him as a good God who's sovereign over all things. And it was like things started to shift in my heart, right? This is not someone who's talking about some information, right? He's not telling me about some information about God, but a God that he knew differently than I knew. And so I spent the next few months reading through the Bible, and it was like every page you see this sovereign God. It was like being breathed out to me, right? And it wasn't information. This wasn't an argument about like theology. It was an argument about who God is. And so even, I guess I would put that to you, like even as you think through this book and kind of what you're writing, this isn't just information to you. You're trying to speak to someone's heart. So how do you do that in this book? Like you talk about this idea of humble Calvinism, right? And so what kind of heart are you speaking to that might not be humble, but yet believe these things?
Yeah, that's you know, we defined, you know, Calvinism very quickly at the beginning of the show. And so now that kind of begs the question, why put humble in front of it?
Yeah.
And well, that's because there's often a lot of very non-humble Calvinism that goes around. There's a lot of pride and a lot of swagger and a lot of bravado and a lot of arrogance, because I think sometimes, you know, people learn these truths and they're not very popular. It's not the majority view of evangelical Christianity, I would think. And sometimes people, you know, they just don't know about it. And so when they learn it, they get all excited, and then they find that people disagree. And just because of human nature, you know, we have a propensity to disagree about all kinds of things. And then sometimes we take it so personally that, you know, if someone doesn't like, you know, crunchy peanut butter, and someone does like crunchy peanut butter, they can get in an argument over peanut butter, over sports teams, of course, over politics. I mean, so now we're talking about scripture, we're talking about God's word, and we should be passionate about God's word. So then sometimes we get too passionate, and that goes over into pride and being puffed up. And sometimes Calvinists can be real jerks to people. And that was my experience. I was a jerk to those who disagreed. I was impatient. I would have disagreements with people, and I would be completely just condescending to them. And I would see that among other Calvinists. And then as, you know, as Christ began to change my heart and change my attitude about those things, and I find myself not wanting to argue about Calvinism anymore, but really just to, hey, teach it. And they go, hey, if you don't believe it, that's totally fine. I just want you to love Jesus. Christ is the most important person in the world, not John Calvin and not me. And so as I began to see the continued just arrogance around Calvinism, I thought, this shouldn't be. The doctrines of grace should be making us into really gracious people. I think we're misunderstanding the doctrines of grace if it's not disarming us to love one another and to be humble towards one another and to be humble before the Lord. So like we know, oh, we should be humble before God. Well, yeah, absolutely. And we should also be humble before one another. Calvinists take verses seriously, like in Romans 9. In Romans 9, I think it's 9:16, that talks about how God, he chose Jacob and Esau before they did anything good or bad. Well, we also got to take we also got to take Romans 12:16 seriously to honor one another and care for one another. So I hope I got those references right. If not, it is Romans 9, Romans 12. They're in there somewhere.
One of the notes I wrote down, just as I was thinking about this and listening to some of your stuff, and man, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but it's sad that this book has to be written.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like there's a part of me that I hear this, and I'm like, when this idea, right? When we say Calvinism, right? And for me, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, but like I usually use the word Reformed theology, and I don't know if that's out of fear of like starting an argument when I say the word Calvinism, because it comes with such, yeah, people have really messed with it and done some horrible things with it and been rude about it. And so for me, it's like, I just don't see God any other way. And so, yeah, it's sad that this topic doesn't automatically humble us when we think about a God who's The illustration I always use is my son, right? If he were running into traffic, what kind of a father would he want? He would want a father that says, I'm coming for you. Right? Yeah. Like, I will come and save you from traffic. I'm not going to call out your name and hope you come, hope you turn around. He's 2.5. Like, he wouldn't. He would just keep running.
Right.
And so, man, I want a guy like that. And that humbles that just humbles everything out of me. And so it's such a bummer that we are so good at sin that we can literally take the best things and corrupt them and make them like, wow, I'm going to use this as pride now. I'm going to use this as a whip now, right? Instead of
right.
this humility.
Right.
Just, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not even really, I guess I'm not even asking a question as much as I'm just like, that's a note I wrote down. And it stinks that you have to write a book like this, but I'm glad that you wrote it, you know?
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah. It is a shame. Like someone else asked me like, so man, why do you think this happens? Why do Calvinists get arrogant? Why does it happen? Well, so the issue is not with Calvinism. Like someone asked me that, like, why does Calvinism tend to produce this? Like, it's not Calvinism's fault. It's Calvinists' fault. It's total depravity itself. That's the reason. It's our own theology that we believe, hey, we are sinners, and hey, we do struggle. We're not perfect. And it's the classic line from an old movie. You know, the guy in the movie says, you can't handle the truth. And I like to twist that line and to say, you know, we can't handle the truth. Like, because of our sinful nature, there are things that we learn and we're just not mature enough. And we probably never will be until Jesus returns or we depart to be with him, that to where we'll handle theology and scripture and always the appropriate way.
No, it's good. And so I'm thinking about someone who's going to say, a devil's advocate question, who might say, all right, Jeff, this is awesome, right? Like really heady stuff, Calvinism, you know, Tulip, you know, John Calvin, he lived a long time ago. A lot of these things, this is all just theology, Jeff. Like I don't, you know, I just love Jesus and I'm just going to, that's important to me, but I'm not even going to really get into this stuff. I'll let the theologians talk about this stuff. What would your critique or your response to someone like that be to kind of encourage them into these things?
Yeah, I tell people often, I said, you're right. This is the stuff of theologians and all that. And then I tell them, and you are a theologian. Mm. Like everyone is a theologian. There are some people that get paid professionally to do it and to teach others how to do it. But every person, not even every Christian, I mean, every person is a theologian, but especially every Christian. Because to be a theologian means you just speak words, logos, about God, theos. So if you're a Christian that speaks about God, tells people about God, you lead a Bible study, you disciple, you have children, you have nieces or nephews, you've got grandkids, you are a theologian. You are helping theologize other people. And so you should be, you know, invested and concerned and caring about not just Calvinism, but any kind of theological teaching under the sun. It should be on your radar because you want to glorify God and you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you want to love your neighbor as yourself. So I would just tell people, hey, you know, do the homework, read it, do your own self-study. Definitely go out and buy Humble Calvinism and see what you think about it. But I do agree, it is the work of the theologian and the work of pastors as well, and the work of every priest in the body of Christ, the priesthood of believers, every Christian, to connect these things to real life. So we'll just do a total depravity. Okay, we're totally sinful, great. What does that really matter for my everyday life? Well, first, it reminds us that if I really am totally depraved, and this also means I am totally dependent on Christ. Mm. That I need Jesus for everything. If I am totally depraved all the way down to who I am, then I need Jesus for every nook and cranny of my life. I mean, Jesus tells us in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Mm. We cannot bear fruit without him. And so total depravity reminds me, that takes the swagger out of the Christian life.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
Like, yeah, I can't do this. Like, I shouldn't have any pride if I, you know, teach a good Sunday school lesson. Like, no, that was Jesus at work in me.
Well, like, and it's so good to start there. Not to interrupt you, but for me, I think it's so good to start there because, man, if we think that we even add 1%, right? When we don't feel, I think about what you mentioned earlier, is feeling like what you felt like in that moment in church, you know, when it really hit you.
Right.
And if we feel like we offer something, then what the enemy is so good at is deceiving us into thinking, man, when we really sin, oof, if it wasn't for that sin, you and God would be good. Right?
Right.
Oh, man. And then you feel like, dang, now I got to go do something to make up for that one sin. Rather than realizing, man, you could take that sin away and I'm still a million miles away. Right? Mm-hmm. That one sin, because of that idea of total depravity, it's such a powerful tool to that heart that wants to deceive you into thinking there's something you got to do. Right?
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. I totally cut you off, but no, I just get excited.
Man. No, that's so good. Like, total depravity, you know, I talk about this in the book, reminds us of our total dependency on Christ. And yeah, that I can never get in God's good graces by anything mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. The only way we get into God's grace is by God's grace. That's the only way. Total depravity also reminds us, teaches us a total sympathy we should have for other sinners. And so, you know, if you work with, you know, an unbeliever who is struggling with any issue, you know, you could name, sometimes Christians can kind of sneer at them or look down on them and go, ugh, how could they believe that? How could they struggle with that? That's so disgusting. That's so gross. And total depravity reminds us, hey, you're a sinner too. Like, you should have total sympathy for sinners out there, because you know what it was like to have no hope in this world and to be a stranger to God. Titus 3 talks about how we too were foolish, hating one another, deceiving one another, engaged in all kinds of sins. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, so total depravity should really change the way not only we view ourselves, but the way we view each other and where our hope rests. And so, I mean, really every point kind of goes along that way and connects to, I think, the daily life of the Christian and the local church and how we walk with Christ until eternity.
So good. No, I think just even walking through all the points, like I would encourage everyone listening, like, man, spend time. Don't just immediately fight against this because it sounds like something that's different than what you're used to. But man, spend time seeking the Lord in these things and just kind of trusting him to kind of walk you through some of these things. Yeah. But to kind of change direction just a hair, Jeff, because I like to do this with people that I bring onto the podcast because I think it's really important for some of the people who are listening is, okay, so here you are, you're a pastor, you're a writer, you're like a super Christian, right? To everyone listening, you're like, oh, wow, like he's really, you know, doing this thing as holy as he possibly can. What does following Jesus for you look like in sort of the mundane normalcy of life? Like, yeah. What do you enjoy doing that isn't like reading your Bible for 10 hours a day?
Right. Oh, man, if I read my Bible for 10 hours a day, my kids would probably hate me. yeah, I mean, it looks like what everyone else does, you know, and there are even days where I'm like, man, I think I forgot to read my Bible today. So like, I mean, today, I'll be totally honest, here we are. I'm in Houston Central Standard Time. It's 10:50 a.m. I overslept. The long guys are here because it's spring break. My kids are doing their own thing this morning. And I got up really fast, ate breakfast, and then I hopped on the podcast. I haven't read my Bible yet today. But that's okay. I you know, I'll get into it at some point, but my life is not defined by Bible reading, but by Christ. So yeah, I mean, it just looks like following Jesus, just like everybody else does, wanting to do my job, whether that's a pastor or whether that's, you know, people listening, you know, making coffee or selling, you know, whatever gizmos and gadgets that they're selling. We want to do it all to the glory of God and do it all for his name and try to love our neighbor. It looks like picking up my kids from school, loving them, playing with them, hanging out with them, building marshmallow castles with them during spring break.
Best kind of castles.
Yeah.
Sturdiest.
Spaghetti noodles and, you know, just the uncooked spaghetti pasta and marshmallows, and we're building towers and all that kind of stuff. It looks like, you know, hanging out with my wife, you know, fostering a healthy marriage, spending time together, just having conversations around the kitchen island, talking about what we're thinking and talking about the holidays and what God's teaching us. And really just, you know, really trying to enjoy his creation. I love Psalm 19 that tells us, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And to enjoy God's creation. So that, I think that's one of the main ways outside of the scriptures and outside of Christian books and all that jazz, how I just enjoy being a disciple of Christ is really just enjoying his gifts that he's given us. You know, so I encourage people, I did in my sermon this past Sunday to go and to binge watch Netflix and to enjoy God, but to go and binge watch Planet Earth season one, Planet Earth two, and Blue Planet one, Blue Planet two. I mean, BBC America has spent, or BBC Earth has spent millions of dollars to help us enjoy God. They just don't know that. And so take them up on the offer. Yeah, Hillsong and Bethel and all those churches that they spend a lot of money making cool music and stuff. Great. Well, they can't match what BBC Earth has done. They've spent millions. So go and enjoy it. So yeah, I mean, it just looks like normal stuff like that. And I happen to read the Bible and teach it and also write. But I'd probably write anyways if I weren't a pastor. and I'd probably still teach the Bible if I weren't a pastor too. I would just do it in a local church as a good church member teaching a class or whatever. But it looks like everybody else struggling with the same things, having doubts and having fears and worrying about my kids and all that kind of stuff too, and just trying to trust Christ a day at a time.
Which I think is so powerful and something I'm always trying to communicate however we can on these podcasts. It's just like the gospel is a deep breath of relief. It isn't a weight that we're putting on our shoulders, right? It really is good news that should make us go, huh, I can just enjoy my kids. I can enjoy, like I think about Spurgeon, you know, enjoying a cigar to the glory of God. Like the idea of, man, I can enjoy who God is in just the freedom of today, in just the day of, that he's given me today. And so rather than it feeling like, man, if I want to take this seriously, I gotta just really, you know, put my foot to the gas and just go as fast as I can.
Right.
Because it's just so easy to get burnt out that way, and just to enjoy the gospel and enjoy the Jesus of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. So, yeah, Jesus is the most important person in the universe. He lives. This is one of the key things about Christianity. We don't think that Jesus was the most important person. Like he is. He lives and he reigns for us. And so even with Calvinism, why did I even write this book or even think about this book? Well, because I believe that Calvinism is at its best when it shows us Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't show us Christ, then we should get rid of it. If anyone out there that is into Calvinism but is not enjoying Jesus more, then I would tell you to reboot your theology, reset it, and start over. Because the most important five-letter word in Calvinism isn't tulip, it is Christ. And all the points, those 5 points, point us to a person. They point us to Jesus, because he is the only one that he wasn't totally depraved. He wasn't born totally depraved, but he took on our depravity at the cross, and he rose again so that we could be saved. We were chosen in him. He died for us on the cross. We're drawn to him by the power of the Spirit. And then we're held in his hands. Him and the Father hold us in their hands, and so we can be saved forever. So Calvinism is ultimately meant to show us Christ and really nothing less and nothing more.
It's so good. I love that phrase, the idea of the five-letter word, right? Like, that's so powerful. I think it's awesome. Jeff, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Where can people find you, and where can people find your book, and where can they go and buy it, this awesome book?
Yeah, thanks, man. It was great to be on the show. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. That's what's definitely where I'm most active, just at Mr. Medders, MrMedders. And you can follow me on Instagram, Jeff Medders. You can try to find me on Facebook. I'm not super active on Facebook, but definitely Twitter and Instagram. And then you can go on Amazon. You can find the book. Just Amazon, type in Humble Calvinism, and you'll find it there. And you can also keep up with my writings on my own site, jametters.com. And you'll find links to my books there too, and my podcast that I do on writing called Home Row. And yeah, I'd love to keep up and connect with any listeners out there. And you can find my writings at Desiring God and the Gospel Coalition all there on my site as well.
And P.S., your website's one of the better websites I've seen in a while from a blog perspective. It's really well put together, so I encourage everybody to go there and read it, but more importantly, enjoy the beauty of it. I really love it. So, hey, Jeff, thank you so much. I hope you have a great one. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, David.
Man, well, there you go. That is hopefully the first of many podcasts where we hope to introduce to you guys just deeper things of God, right? So I want to wrestle. I want to be a podcast that wrestles with hard truths, right? I don't want to be people that are not able to, man, let's ask the hard questions, right? I don't want to be an apparel company that just makes cool shirts. I know, listen, this is not pride. I know we make cool shirts. That's what we pay designers to do. That's why we have designers that do, like, that is what we do. We get it. But man, this company is a waste. We have wasted our time and our resources and our energy if all we do is create cool apparel, right? Or cool stickers or whatever. That's just not the point. The point is Jesus and Jesus being glorified and people knowing him better. And so part of that is we have to ask hard questions, right? We have to go, man, who is God? What is he really like? And so that's why we wanted to kind of introduce you guys to a phrase like Calvinism and about, you know, ask hard questions of, man, is God in control of everything? And if he is, what does that mean for me? And what does the Bible say about it? And so whether you believe in Calvinism, don't believe in it, man, most importantly, like Jeff said, Jesus is everything. That is all that matters. And so we hope this podcast, even though for some of you, we imagine it's coming out of left field, we hope that it encourages you. And honestly, we would encourage you, if you trust us, go buy this book, right? We've read a lot of it and just have loved every second of it. And so, man, go for it. Go seek Jesus in the deep things of those harder words like Calvinism. Like, what does it mean? Go find out. Go seek out who Jesus is in all those hard words that you might just kind of settle in and just say, oh, I know Jesus. Jesus is all I need to know. But man, theology and going deeper and truly knowing who God is, even like Jeff mentions in the podcast, theology is important. And we would encourage everyone that kind of follows us and listens in to feel the same way. So keep expecting us to kind of push you guys and ruffle some feathers. We kind of enjoy doing that from time to time. So man, we hope you enjoy this podcast. Feel free to kind of share this with friends. It would mean the world to us. Follow us on Instagram at ODG Apparel, Twitter at ODG Apparel, Snapchat. We're all about Snapchat right now and just kind of messaging people. Feel free to message us on Snapchat directly. And just, we usually have someone on there chatting with you guys. Sometimes it's even me. Man, just we love keeping up with you guys. So tell us what you think about this podcast. Ask us the hard questions. But most importantly, just seek Jesus. Man, he's worth it. See you guys next week for the next podcast.